Praise the Lord.
Amen. We are very happy to be here this evening. When I was a young man, younger than what I am right at the moment, the Lord called us, anointed us, and began to send us out. And I have been coming to Africa for over 40 years. That's probably longer than some of you have been living. Some of you. Hallelujah. This is my, I've been to Africa many times, but this is the first time that I have been in Liberia. You know, I have a loud voice, so you might want to turn that down a little bit. I don't want to drive everybody out of here, blow them out of here. I have been coming to Africa a long time. Brother Chijoki was a student in the university when we first met him. And it's very exciting to see them now beginning to go out and to minister the gospel. Brother George, who I have known for a good portion of my life, has traveled with us to many places. We have gone to India with him many different times. We have come into Africa together and so forth. It is very good to be here. We bring a particular word. We bring a particular thought that I believe is in the heart of God. I am a walker. I hope nobody minds. I like to walk around. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I don't have a leash on me. We believe, because of what the Bible says, and because what we see in the Word of God, that we are coming down to the final days. Hallelujah. Now, that the last days has been an overshadowing foundational principle in the Bible. The disciples in their day thought that Jesus Christ was coming soon. But he was coming, but he was not coming in the way that the Bible was saying that he was going to come at that particular time. But I believe that we are now standing on the brink of that coming of Jesus Christ. I am not one of those preachers that write down my sermon and get into the scriptures to see what it is that I can give you. When the Lord called me as a young man, he called me and he said, if you get up, I will open your mouth and I will fill it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That doesn't mean that I don't pray, that I don't study the Bible, that I'm not into it, because I am. I spend a great deal of my time eating on the Word of God. And that is something that is very important for you as a Christian. Where is that speaker at so I can stay away from it? I think it's a feedback. Hallelujah. One of the things that the church has lost. Now, I've been involved in church for over 40 years. I mean, church, I've been involved with it. I cut my teeth on church. You know, I did many different things in my life. I was a contractor, a building contractor. I was a farmer. I have seven children. My wife and I have seven children. I think the oldest is somewhere in the mid-30s. I don't know. She's not here to tell me. Hallelujah. She's the statistical department. I don't know if you know how hard it is to keep track of seven children with seven names, seven birthdays, and seven different personalities, and sometimes all seeming one and the same thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, if that doesn't make things more, if that is not difficult, I have 20 grandchildren. And they're the ages of 18 down to almost a year, I believe. And if you don't think I have trouble remembering names, ages, then you've got another thing coming. My wife is very good at that. She can tell you the name. She can tell you the birthday. She can tell you which child they belong to. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But we have been involved in church a very long time. I was born and brought up in the Southern Baptist Church. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you have Southern Baptists here. I think you have Baptists. But in the United States, you can be Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Right Baptist, Left Baptist, Middle Baptist, Up Baptist, or Down Baptist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mother was very good at being Baptist. She believed in two things. She believed in the Bible. Well, I should say she believed in three things. She believed in the Bible. She believed in the position of salvation and the need to witness and to testify to everyone that came through her door. And she believed in applying the discipline of the Bible to us children, for which I am very grateful. Praise the Lord. From that position of relationship and experience, I was born again when I was 8 years old. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you a little of my history. You don't know who I am. You've never seen me before. You may never see me again. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I was born again when I was 80 years old. We had in the Baptist church, we had what we called royal ambassadors for children. I don't know if you have something like that in your different churches, but it's a function for children that minister the things of God as well as the Baptist doctrines to them. And they have these little camps. And I was living in California at the time, and I was up in the hills at one of these little camps at 8 years old, and in one of the outside meetings, they had a big brush fire burning, and the preacher was preaching hell and damnation, praise God, and they had that fire roaring back there behind him. Praise the Lord. The only thing I could see was me in that fire. Praise the Lord. And it motivated me to get saved. But when I was 12 years old or 13 years old, I backslid. I fell away from God and I went out into the world. It seems like a young age, but the devil doesn't really care. The younger, the better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I was 17 or 18, my mother finally got delivered from the Baptist church because she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how it is here, but I know in the United States, if you're a Baptist and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Is it the same here? I mean, because, you know, the Baptist has some funny ideas about Holy Spirit and people speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, they really think that experience is not from God. They think it comes from the devil. Praise the Lord. You need to pray for your Baptist people that they get delivered from their Baptistness. Praise the Lord. There's something about God that I'm finding out. God is not denominational. Did you hear me? When I was about 17 or 18, I found myself in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And you know, the teachings that my mother did as far as God is concerned and being right and being there's a hell, there's a heaven, was something that was very much a reality to me, and it was following me, it was pursuing me, you know. And the deeper that I got into sin, the more trouble that I got in, the more condemned I felt concerning the aspect, and the more the reality of hell was coming to me. But in the meantime, my mother had moved from the Baptist church into the Pentecostal church. And so, being a good mother, she wanted to drag us boys in there. I had two brothers, one older, one younger. And so we began to be going to that Pentecostal church. And you know, there was something of God in it. There really was, because God began to talk to me about the fact of what there was in Him that could deliver me out of some of the trouble that I was in. Hallelujah. Because I don't know, maybe you haven't experienced it, but I would get into something and I could not get out of it. And the deeper I got, the worse it got. And the things that I were doing were getting worse, becoming habitual. They were ruling my life. I started out to have fun, right? Hallelujah. But fun turned somewhere to trouble along the way. I wasn't quite sure when. But the fun became as a ruler over my soul. And it began to make dictates and demands to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Of what I could do and what I could do, of what I wouldn't do and when I would do it and how much of it I would do. I had no control over it. Have anybody been in that condition or now maybe even now experiencing the reality of that type of circumstance, that type of situation? Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, the worst part about it was my mind. You know, you can some way or another control the actions that are out here in your body sometimes. You know, if you have bad language or something of that nature, which I was guilty of as a young man. I don't think I really talked English. I think I talked profanity. But it's one thing to stop it with your mouth. It's another thing to stop it with your mind. Because you can stop it with your mouth and your mind is still going. And the word that you're not saying because you're gritting your teeth and you're holding your tongue is shouting itself in your head. Have you ever had that experience? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen? Yes. Well, then I'm talking to the right people, right? Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they were some, and I, it was very disturbing to me because I believed in the reality of hell. Do you understand that? And I knew what I was doing was driving me into a position of hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the devil starts out with little things, you know. He excites a certain amount of darkness in you for the desire for alcohol, or the desire for nicotine, or the desire for a drug, or a desire for a fleshly gratification. He starts out in the little things. But then the problem is that as you continue to participate with them, and they become more dominant in your being, and actually, in some measure or another, they become a part of your nature. And somewhere along the line, that nature begins to determine what you do or what you do not do.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I found myself in that type of condition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must be a special people. I don't often share my testimony when I go around. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there must be something really here that God wants to touch. You know, this thing, is there any way we can just turn it down a little bit? I got to be able to walk around. Hallelujah. Sometimes you sit in the back of the room to get away from the spirit of conviction, and I have to walk back there. Hallelujah. I want to look you right in the eye. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes we find ourselves in that type of a situation. Hallelujah. Where the thing that we thought was fun, or the thing that we thought was part of our humanity, begins to take over our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not just those things out there that they say you should not do this, you should not do that, you should not do that. It's things like anger. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's things like anger. Does anybody know what anger is?
Yes.
Do you guys get mad sometimes?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I think you probably get mad. And I think there's probably a vociferous expression of that anger. If not in word, action maybe all in countenance. Hallelujah. You can almost see that nature of anger. Your countenance change and your voice tone changes and your whole being kind of hackles up like a dog that is going into a fight, you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you familiar with that kind of an expression? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it is not that Africans are prone to anger, but I do know that anger has the power over Africans. Anger, now don't get me wrong. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am not being racial.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I spent too much time. My tutor, my mentor, was a black man who I knew for over 40 years. I traveled with him back and forth across the world. He was like a father to me. His wife, Sister Mavis, was like a mother to me. You know, we traveled together. We been in their home. They've been in my home. I've even had to sit in the back of the bus with him. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. Being in the States in that situation, sometimes he would send us into the hotels to get the room because of the prejudice that would be working in that arena. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So anger is something that has a hold on humanity. How about depression? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you have a problem? Do you have to deal with depression? Maybe you don't have enough money. Maybe you don't have enough food. Maybe you don't have enough shelter or the things that that are pertinent to life and living. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do those situations depress you? Do they frustrate you? Do they bring you down into this low realm? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of humanity and gives the devil the power to feed off of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's an interesting verse there that I want to share with you. And it's found in Genesis third chapter. Hallelujah. Somehow I always get back to Genesis, don't I? Hallelujah. Now, you know, Genesis, I don't know if you're Bible students or what, but Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 are the foundational principles of the entire Bible. In fact, if you really were to look at it and you had spiritual intelligence, I'm not saying you don't, because I'm including myself in that also, we wouldn't need the rest of the Bible because all of it is right there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wrote the rest of the Bible for people like me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I have a hard head. And it takes a lot of information to get through that hard-headedness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there's an interesting story. Here in Genesis. Now, I'm not going to go, I don't think, so much into Genesis 1 and 2, where God created the world. He created all of the things in the world, and then He created man. And He put man in a place that was called a garden. And he was told to do two things: have dominion and to subdue. You know, having dominion and subduing are two different things. Hallelujah. You can have dominion by the fact that God gives you dominion, but unless you use the dominion, it's of no value. Hello? So you have to use the dominion. You have to use the authority in the dominion to subdue, so that you might be in actuality doing what it was that God had given you to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, we might get into that this evening. I don't know. But I want to read to you here. The devil came in and manipulated the woman. Hallelujah. And deceived her. Now, Eve was deceived. He had no concept of evil. Eve had no concept of a devil. And that's something that you need to think about, because unfortunately, the woman has suffered in many different ways, but she has also suffered in the aspect of what it was that she did in the beginning. Whatever the transgression of Eve has been passed on to her progeny down through the eons to all generations and all types of people. Praise the Lord. But Eve was deceived. And there's something else that we have to bear in mind concerning that. Did God know what was going on with Eve? Huh? Do you think that God knew what was going on with Eve? Praise the Lord. Come on. Don't be afraid of me. He knew. He had to know, right? He's omnipresent. Do you believe He's omnipresent? Well, if He knew, why did not He do something about it? Huh? Well, it's because God has a plan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God had a plan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's just so much crowding into my mind. I have to kind of put a rein on it. So much information that I would like to share with you with so little time to do it in. Hallelujah. But God knew it. God knew it. Hallelujah. And God allowed it. Hallelujah. And that's scriptural, by the way. And I might be able to deal with that. But here, when they fell, they sinned, she came, she gave it to her husband. Hallelujah. And he partook of it, and was now with her in that position or that fallen state. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I don't know, but there's an important fact that we have to understand about how the Bible is written. The Bible is not just a historical book. This book is written by God.
Yes.
Now, God used man, yes, praise the Lord. But this book is written by God. And it's not written necessarily with pen and ink. It is written by the blood of those who loved God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know if you know much history about the Bible that you hold, but this Bible, the printed Bible that we have, I have the King James. I don't know what it is that you have. But any of the Bible, and most of the Bibles that have come from manuscripts like the Septuagint and the different Greek Latin manuscripts that were written many long years ago, But it was King James that finally got around to having the Bible translated into English so that you and I would be able to read it and have an ability to have the chance to understand it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the men that did that, they were persecuted. They were before King James, they were persecuted for doing it. There was a man by the name of Tyndale. He was an Englishman who was the first man, I believe, to put the Bible in what they call typeset. Hallelujah. And when they found out what they were doing, they arrested him, they threw him in prison, they tortured him, and finally they burned him at the stake for writing your Bible. The Bible that you hold there, it may be translated into a different language, but it has the blood of Tyndale in it and on it. Hallelujah. A blood offering. Hello? Not one of those that are offered at some shrine or ritualistic position out there in the bush, but it is sanctified blood. It is consecrated blood. Hallelujah. And if you go into Hebrews, the 12th chapter, or the 11th chapter, which chapter is it?
Of the elders, 11.
Yes, at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you read about what the Bible calls the heroes of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says, they did not accept deliverance for the hope of a what? Better resurrection. You know, all of these things are clues to you and I concerning what is in the mind of God concerning your position and your relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? God wants to have a personal, viable, living, walking, talking relationship with each and every one of you.
Yes,
not something that is religious, not something that is theoretical, not something that is imaginary, not even something that you might look at as being spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I have a very good relationship with these people here. Hallelujah. And I like to think that the relationship is a spiritual relationship, but there is something very actual about it. There's an involvement and interchange that goes on between me and them. And I don't think of them as being spiritual beings in the sense of how we put it on in the church mentality of what spirituality is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not what you do. It is not how hard you jump or how much you sing or how much you clap or how much you dance. That is not spirituality. Spirituality is in that you have an abiding awareness that God is with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me? And that's what God wants from a people.
Amen.
And somehow we as a church have missed it. We have orchestrated a system of doing and behaving and acting and performing in a certain way, in a certain environment. And when we walk out of that environment, we walk right back into the rut of our condemned, judged humanity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And some of us even segregate God to a particular time. Sometimes we have it in this forum where we meet together at a particular time. So we go home, we put on our spiritual clothes. We shine our spiritual shoes. Hallelujah. We get our Bibles and we come to church. And we sit down and do everything that church does. Hallelujah. And when we are all done, we may feel good, but how long does it last? How long does it last? I would say that most of us lose it about 5 steps outside the door. What is wrong with our religion? What is wrong with our theology? What is wrong? Something has to be wrong if it is not something that is changing you. God demands change. Not in the essence of God says, you have to change. But God's presence brings a conviction to your heart that whatever it is you are involved in and doing, it's wrong. Hallelujah. And you have to change it. Hallelujah. If you do not have that conviction, if you do not have that reality, then something is wrong with your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is an interesting scripture in the Bible that says that God is the God of the living.
Amen.
And not the dead. So it doesn't surprise me that when some of our churches come together to meet, God really isn't there. Hallelujah. Huh? Because we are more dead than alive. Hallelujah. More dead than alive. Hallelujah. I want to read that verse to you. Genesis chapter 3. You see, we are involved. If you are born again, oh boy, that opens up a whole other avenue. If you are born again, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are involved in a spiritual confrontation with a spiritual reality that the Bible calls darkness. Hello? Darkness. Does your Bible say darkness? Hallelujah. When it says darkness, what does it mean? Does it mean wickedness? Does it mean death and hell? Does it mean a place of hopelessness and frustration and futility? Is that what your darkness in your Bible means? Hallelujah. Well, if you were to look up the word darkness, hallelujah, in the original language, the Hebrew or the Greek, and I am no Hebrew or Greek scholar, I just go to a book and read it in a book. Hallelujah. You will find out that everything about darkness is like malignancy. Huh? It's like cancer. Hello? Cancer lives in your body. Hallelujah. And your body does nothing about it. Because it disguises itself to make your body think that it is part of your body. Hello? Hallelujah. And cancer is the closest thing we have to, in the natural arena, to give you an idea of what it is that the Bible calls darkness, our sin, our death, our degradation, our abomination. All of those words are brought to a place of fulfillment in what the Bible calls darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your fight, my fight, is against that entity that is called darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So here we are in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord has confronted Adam and Eve. He is now has pronounced judgment upon the devil. And he says in chapter 3, verse 14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent." Now, how many of you know that the serpent wasn't really what we pertain as snake? It was the devil. Hello, are you there? This is a symbolic book. It's written in code. It has a symbolic nature. It has a spiritual a tone or quality to it, and it uses natural situations to express spiritual realities. Hallelujah. Many people, many countries that I go to in the in Africa, the serpent pertains to certain spiritual deities. Huh? Is that right? Are you familiar with that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there is the serpent, especially the water conda, the anaconda, the water snakes, the python. Hallelujah. They call it in Nigeria mammy water. I don't know, you probably have a name here for it. Huh? Thank you. Hallelujah. You probably have your own name for it, I don't know. But I ran into that serpent down in I ran into that spirit down in Sierra Leone. I ran into it in Ethiopia. I ran into it over there in Ghana. I ran into it over there in that other place that we went, Kenya. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm sure he's hiding around here somewhere. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so these things in this word, they are spiritual. Hallelujah. If because they're in the Old Testament, doesn't mean they're any less spiritual than what is in the New Testament. And when Jesus said, hallelujah, when he said, "My words are spirit and they are life," he was not just saying the words that were written and recorded in the New Testament. You see, Jesus was brought up under what the Jewish people call the Torah, the law. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason why Paul got so much revelation of God in the New Testament is based on the fact of his knowledge and experience in the Old Testament. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, most churches want to throw the book out, the Old Testament out, as a historical book. And if you do that, you split God in two and you discard one and half of him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so here we are in the garden, and the Lord God said, verse 13, "Unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast in the field." Oh my. You know, we have an expression. I don't know if you will understand it in the United States. And we had in the world. It was called poker. It was a card game. And some of the people who were very good at cheating, they would stack the deck in a certain way that they would deal out certain cards, and they would know every card that you had. And of course, they were always dealing them the better hand. Hallelujah. Well, we call that stacking the deck. And God stacked the deck against the devil. Hallelujah. Do you understand that when God says something, it's not just words. It's not just words to express something. When God says something, there is something that God looses out of himself. Now you follow me, come on. Almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. Huh? When he speaks, it is not words, it's something of himself, his essence, his being that comes forth out of him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it invokes a principle or an authority unto that which it is spoken.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why James says, you know, brethren, you have to be careful what you say. He said there is power of life in death in your tongue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember one time we were somewhere and a woman got angry at some people. She was a Christian woman. And they got in their car to drive off, and she got she was angry with them, and she said something, and she went like this. You know what happened? Car flipped over. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. There's something very powerful about the power that we have in us as Christian people, as blood-bought, spirit-filled people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when the devil, hallelujah, when God spoke to the devil, he pronounced the judgment upon him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
First he said, you are cursed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means you are condemned. That means you are judged and you are found guilty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there is an authority that is loosed in that condemnation that gives you and I a power over him.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going around fighting the devil like he is this 260-pound fellow standing about 6'4". He got muscles out here like this. And he is, and God is this little wimpy thing. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Weighing about 95 pounds and no muscles at all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the picture that we have. That is the way that we act when the devil confronts us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there has been an authority that has been loosed against the devil. And it's not just Christian people. Do you know? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Humanity is something very special, whether it's in its fallen state or it has been out of that state into a relationship of being born again. It's something very, that the devil will flee from a sinner if a sinner does what the Bible says a man should do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much more authority should you and I have if we have the blood of Jesus Christ and we have the power of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh boy. Oh my. And God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Does anybody know of a snake that eats dirt? Is there a snake that eats dirt?
No.
I don't know about it if there is. He may slither through the dirt, but does he eat dirt? Huh? He preys on living things, doesn't he? He doesn't eat dirt. So what constraint did God put on the devil? Huh? Where does the devil get his life, his energy, his vitality? Where does he get it? Hallelujah. Well, it's right there in the Bible. It says, in verse 18, talking about that the judgment that was put upon Adam, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth the land forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Hallelujah. Now, does somebody have a Bible in a different language there? You have one of your language Bibles? Huh? No, I can't read it if it's in your language. I want you to tell me what that verse says. Does it say that you are made out of dirt or dust? Huh?
Both thorns and nettles, they shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the heads of the field.
No doubt. Verse 19.
In the sweat of Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For all of it you were taken, but thus you are.
All right.
Thus you shall return.
Hallelujah. So our Bibles agree, whatever language they may be in, right? Hallelujah. It isn't dirt that the devil is eating. It's you. It's you from which he is feeding. Hallelujah. It is you from which he is gaining his strength, his energy. Hallelujah. So if you don't want the devil to have power over you, you stop feeding him. What happens when you stop feeding? If somebody stopped feeding you, what would happen? Huh? You would shrivel up. You would shrivel up and you would blow away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something in all of these things that God is speaking to us concerning the position or the place or the calling or the election that God had ordained for man in the very beginning. But somewhere in the process of church, it got lost. Hallelujah. You know, one of the problems in the coming of Jesus Christ was that Jesus Christ came to the Israel, the nation of Israel, as was his people. Hello? Are you there? And so therefore Israel was representation of the church in that hour, in that day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And things in the past aren't something, they are something that happens again and again and again, only it becomes to a fuller position or manifestation or a fuller actuality of what it is. And the condemnation that was against the Israelite people, hallelujah, as a church, was that they did not know God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not going to church that's going to get you into what we call heaven. Hallelujah. There was a group of people in the Bible that came to Jesus Christ And it says, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not do many good works in your name? Have we not done what is required of us in our church locality and section? Hallelujah. Jesus said a very strange thing. Depart from me. No, he said, that wasn't all he said. Now he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the sinner. He's talking to the church. And he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. He is not condemning the heathen for his sin. He's condemning the church for their lack of knowledge and relationship with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you can have all kinds of feeding programs. You can have orphanages. You know, I don't know how many millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that has been spent on orphanages, widows' houses, building churches, congregations and things, feeding programs, and the world just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And worse. Hallelujah. Something is wrong with the church. When the church was given dominion in the book of Genesis to bring and to subdue all things under its foot. Hallelujah. And Jesus, just to make sure that you understand, it's New Testament from theology, stood on the side of a mount overlooking Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Jerusalem has many different aspects or many different definitions in the spiritual realm. But let us just say, for the sake of this conversation, that Jerusalem was something that was very close to the heart of God. It was symbolic of a people. It was symbolic of the activity or the center of where God was coming in ministering to a people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When it was time for the Israelites to on the different feasts, they would all come to Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he stood on the side of a hill. And he looked out and it says that God wept. No, it says Jesus wept, but he was God. He was God, God in Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus in God. John chapter 17. Hallelujah. And it says that God stood on the hill, looked out over Jerusalem, and he wept. Hallelujah. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have drawn you. Hallelujah. Like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Hallelujah. And the particular way that that's written in the Hebrew is not a passive thought. It is not a passive action. It is something that shows great resistance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, it is your house, Jerusalem, is left unto you desolate until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that a man comes in and says, I'm a man of God, and you said, bless you, welcome. It means that there is the awareness of the presence of God, and you invite that presence. Hallelujah. You invite it. You invite it. Hallelujah. Into your private set of circumstances. Hallelujah. You know, you come in here, and it's not just you, but we come into a meeting, and we come in with a certain demeanor. Hallelujah. And you know, we may have just walked out of a very bad argument. with somebody. Confrontation. Or we may have done something that we shouldn't do. We come into the door. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden we have a smile on our face. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, I know that you are I know a little bit about your history. So I know that you are not, that you are acquainted with hardship and tribulation. You are acquainted with wars and some of the things that war does. Hallelujah. I'm sure that some of you have had experiences with that. But we are coming, and as bad as that is, and as much as we do not want it to happen again, if you are praying for Jesus Christ to come, then you are praying for something greater and more tribulating than you can even imagine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In spite of what your history is. Because the coming of Jesus Christ is preceded by what the Bible calls a great tribulation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my. Hallelujah. It's in Matthew 24. And if you have time, sometime you might want to go into it. But my Bible says, a great tribulation such as the world has never known. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May I ask you a question for your food for thought? Has there ever been a place in the Bible that you are aware of where there has been a move of God that the people did not have to go through tribulation? I've been looking for it for 40 years. I can't find it. You know, I can't find it. It's going back all the way to Adam and Eve. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Did God deliver them out of that trouble? No. He drove them out into more trouble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you come right down through it, come right down through the Bible, generation after generation after generation after generation. Look at Noah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Noah was not delivered out of his tribulation. Noah had to do something about the tribulation that was coming. God spoke to Noah. He said, I am running out of patience with these people. And I am going to wipe the slate clean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said, only you and your family will I preserve. But Noah had to do something. Noah just didn't sit in his kitchen drinking his coffee, discussing with his neighbors the scriptures. Hallelujah. Noah had to do something. Hallelujah. And he had to do it for 120 years. And you see, now his environment was quite hostile to him. Can you imagine millions of people in the world out here? Millions? Huh? And all of the righteous were being wiped out. Where'd they go? They just vanished? What happened to them? Some of them died of natural causes maybe, but many of them were killed by those that were around them. And many probably forsook or joined the crowd to escape being killed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did that move God to stop doing or to perform or bring about what He knew was a destructive force that was going to wipe the world clean of people, except for 8 people who were obedient to the presence and the position of relationship with a living God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, you can come right up through modern day times. There is not one position, there is not one place where God ever took a people out of tribulation. Peter said, "Think it not strange when the fiery darts begin to come against you to try your faith." You know, tribulation is not designed to destroy us. Tribulation is designed to push us higher into a relationship with a living God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Christians in the days of Rome, my God. And you know, we're all set up for it. We are, as a people, set up for those types of demonstrations. You know, they were very athletic in their minds. They were very much involved in confrontation and sports and competition. And it graduated out of running against another man or doing something better than another man until it came to a place of killing another man. And if that wasn't enough, they began to bring in wild beasts to feed humanity. Feed them humanity. Hallelujah! We're serving the same God today as the same God then. What is going to change His mind or His mode of operation concerning you and I as a Christian and where it is that we are standing? The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. So there must be something that God is wanting for His people to understand and to obtain so that they might have authority over it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a little woman in Jamaica. There's a story that I was told by Brother Duseal. There was a little woman who was a Christian living with her husband in Jamaica. They weren't very affluent. They were quite poor. And they lived in this little place. And one day, some bandits, some outlaws, some thieves broke into their home. And they had her husband in the other room with what they call a sawed-off shotgun. Double-barrel sawed-off shotgun. It's a gun that's got its barrel cut off. And when she came out of the kitchen, hallelujah, and when she saw what was going on, she put her finger into the outlaw's face, into the thief's face, and said, "Get out of here." Hallelujah. And he turned to her and pulled both triggers of the gun. Hallelujah. Down she went. And it wasn't down 30 seconds, then she jumped back up again and said, "Get out of here." Hallelujah. The man lost his mind. He turned around like a madman and ran out the door. The husband was so worried, he gathered his wife and he took her down to the hospital and they examined her, and all she had was just little red marks all over her body. Hallelujah. We are to have a position, a place of authority in God. But it's not something God is going to give you. Hallelujah. Unless you are walking, talking, living in a personal, viable relationship with God, and God becomes something besides a religious imagination that you have of a being that's out there somewhere, and one day you're going to be in His presence. Hallelujah. When a man is born of the blood, when the man is born of the water, Hallelujah.
Amen.
A man is translated. You are translated out of a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. The only problem is we take most of the darkness with us. And so it seems like our light is darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it is from that point on that God begins to, as you walk and talk with Him, He begins to reveal Himself to you.
Amen.
He begins to uncover Himself to you, that you might be able to see Him, that you might be able to hear Him, that you might be able to smell Him, that you might even be able to feel Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the kind of relationship that Jesus Christ wants. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we see glimpses of it down through the ages. We see glimpses of it in testimonies. I remember one time we were in India and we had a group of ministers. We gathered them together in Madras, which is now called something else. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we were having this conference with them and sharing the Word of God with them. And you know, there was different ones that were giving us their personal testimony. And you correct me, you were there, if I'm wrong and I'm telling it wrong. But there was this one man, he was a drunkard, he was a Hindu, hallelujah, and he lived out in the bush. Huh? Was that him? I thought this was another one. And one day as he was staggering through the jungle, hallelujah,
amen,
he met a man, a physical man, came up to him and began to talk to him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he got converted. He received the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we know of these different manifestations where God comes in a physical form and He meets people in very difficult situations.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How much more should He come to you and I? How much more would He want to manifest Himself to you or I? How much more should He want to tell you about those things that pertain to His business? Hallelujah. You know, when Adam was walking with God, do you think they were discussing the weather? Maybe you think that He was saying to Adam, "Well, Adam, what'd you do today?" God, can you imagine God asking you, "What'd you do today?" When God was right there with you while you were doing it. Hallelujah. God was talking to Adam about God. Hallelujah. He was explaining to Adam some of those things that pertain to who and what God is. The reality of His presence. It says He would come down in the cool of the evening and He would talk with Adam. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God. Hallelujah. That's the type of relationship that we should be instilling into our people.
Amen.
That is the type of desire that we should be cultivating into the hearts of our children. Not raising them up to walk in my footsteps, to be like me, or to be like a father, the father or the grandfather. I should be teaching them about God. Hallelujah. So that they might be able to go beyond me, if there is enough time left, which I don't think there is. Hallelujah. That they might go beyond me in my experience, and by happen chance, they might help me along the way. Hallelujah. For me to gather them down to sit in front of me, and for me to say this and this and this and this, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, accomplishes nothing.
Amen.
They accomplish nothing as long as they are sitting there in front of me and I am instructing them, instructing them, instructing them, instructing them, instructing them. I have to get them and push them out the door.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
something is wrong in the way that we conduct our position or our place of relationship, individually as well as corporately. Something is wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I have to teach my children. I have to teach my grandchildren. You know, there's a certain strength that I bring to my environment, my home environment. There's a certain covering. There's a certain authority. There's a certain protection. There's a certain position or place of covering and overshadowing that I bring to my home. Hello? Hallelujah. But what if something happens to me? What happens to that authority? What happens to that covering? What happens to that protection? Have I brought my children to a place that if I am taken out of the picture, they will continue the race? They will continue the position of integrity? Will they continue to do what needs to be done? Will they resist the devil? Hallelujah. Or are they resisting the devil because I'm there? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes I have to step out of the circumstance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In order for them to be able to begin to stretch themselves, begin to facilitate the facilities of their being, to begin to operate in such a manner and such a way that they go in and up and through the greatness of God. My God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said that you were supposed to be kings and priests. Hallelujah. I should be working myself out of a job. Do you hear me? I should be working myself out of a job. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because there's other things that God wants me to do. There's other places that God wants to take me. There's other people that God wants me to speak to. Do you hear me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I become sedimentary. You become sedimentary. Settle down in your position. Your roots go down into your chair and into the floor. Huh, my God.
Amen.
That was never the intention of God. The intention of God is that we would move as an organism, not as an organization. Hello? Are you there? We should move as an organism. There's something very different from organism and organization. Hallelujah. My body is very flexible. My body is very adaptable. My body can adapt to many different situations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Organization can't. It's structured. It's stiff. It's stolid. It's settled. It's placed. It is stuck. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The corporate church is nothing different from the corporate structure out there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not. There's no difference in it. They have their president. They have the board of directors. They have their regional supervisors. They have all of the things that, and the mechanics to make the organization work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no committees in my body. Look at your body. Is there a committee here? A shoulder committee? An elbow committee? A leg committee? A knee committee? Meeting to determine what the knee does and what it doesn't do and how it will perform? Hallelujah. He gets one message alone. Hallelujah. The head tells the body to do something and the body does it without even knowing what it's doing. Hallelujah. That's the way that we should be operating in our collectivity, in our homes as well as in our congregational settings. Hallelujah. But it doesn't work that way because we are not teaching the people. I said we. I'm concluding myself. We're not teaching the people how to touch God's garment. We're not teaching people the position or the place of coming into God. The Bible says the first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your might, with all of your strength, with all of your being, with all of your mind. We are a people of a divided interest. Hallelujah. You know, before the coming of Jesus Christ, there was something very important that had to happen. There was a man by the name of John the Baptist who was ordained from his mother's womb. It was the only place in the Bible that you see of a man saying being filled with the Holy Spirit prior to the ascension of Jesus Christ. But it says that John was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And he had a job to do. He had to herald the coming of Jesus Christ. Now John was a prophetic verse, a prophetic voice in the midst of religious wilderness. And there is a prophetic word that God is loosing in the midst of the wilderness of religion in this hour. Because tribulation is coming. It wasn't too long after the resurrection of Jesus Christ that which he prophesied about the temple came to pass. You know, they had the world blind with crucifixion. Going in and out of Jerusalem, they were hanging the Jews on crosses. Hallelujah. Why did not God come in and just pick them up and loose them out? What did God say to the church? God is not going to come and do that when he has given you the authority to rebuke it, to stand up, and to command it to be not so. But you have to have a relationship. It's not just getting up and saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus, I rebuke you, rebuke you, rebuke you. Hallelujah. It is having the essence of the reality of God in your soul, in your being. Hallelujah. In your being, do you hear me, brethren? Hallelujah. If we are not teaching the people to touch the hem of God's garment, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. We are going to be held accountable. God is not slack concerning his thoughts concerning the ministry that is in the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And judgment begins at the house of God, which house we are. Judgment, brethren. Hallelujah. God wants us to bring, to come, to turn, and to move toward him in a personal, viable position of living relationship.
Amen.
And you know, you cannot blame it all on the leaders of the congregation. Because if you're sedimentary and you're sitting in your seat, you are going to be held accountable. I'm not talking about being disrespect or moving in a usurpous manner. I'm talking about you hearing from God. You hearing from God. You hearing from God. You. All you. Hearing from God. You know, there was a little girl. She was not more than 4 years old. Hallelujah. And there I was in the fellowship that we were in many years ago. And this little girl walked up to a couple that were in the congregation and she said, thus saith the Lord, da, da, blah, blah, blah. Now that little girl wasn't accustomed to doing that. That is not something that she normally did. And what she said was so right on, so dead accurate, so absolutely true.
Amen.
Because I knew what the situation was.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, because the people did not want to hear it. They rejected it. Because it came from a little girl. They rejected it. And I want to tell you that God's judgment came down in that situation. Hallelujah. And there was destruction. There was hurt. There was pain. There was devastation. Hallelujah. But you have a responsibility to hear from God. You have a responsibility. You have an obligation by virtue of the blood that God gave you that you might be born again. Hallelujah. So there is a position, a place of repentance that we as a people have to recognize as a need in our lives. It's a strange phenomena. I came into this word repenting. And I have been progressing through this word for almost 50 some years, repenting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May I never get above and beyond the position or the place of repentance. May God always keep me in that place of humility. May God always move on my circumstance to keep me in this position, this place of being made humble by Him. Not something that I am manufacturing. Huh? When a man comes up to tell you that this and this and this and what he's saying is not true, what is your reaction? Well, Jesus Christ's reaction was to revile not again. He didn't say a word. He just stood there knowing that he was right and they were wrong. And I don't even know that he had those thoughts as much as he was saying, "Oh God, deliver them from their lying spirit." Huh? Hallelujah. Brethren, we have a job to do. You have a job to do. You have a position, a place. You have a calling. You have an election. God is offering you an invitation. This is not another preacher coming to preach to you. Hallelujah. God is giving you an opportunity. God is going to, in the days to come, give you the opportunity to grasp hold of that which He has in store for you, both in the way of knowledge as well as in the way of experience. May God bless you.